Sometimes when you go to places like the Middle East, and I've had the privilege to go there a couple of times to countries that are really intense, and you meet some believers there, you meet some Christians there, the most amazing thing that you'll experience is the fact that most of the Christians, about 90% of the Christians, would tell you a story of Jesus appearing to them. And mostly this story will be the same. The story will be that of a man in a white robe that they didn't know, walked past them or came into their room and came to visit them. And then something transformed, something changed in their life. It was sort of there's something mysterious, not mystical, but mysterious about this man with the white robe. When we were in Iran, when we were in Egypt, this guy told us the story of how he ministered, a Christian guy prayed for, a Muslim imam, and, this guy said one night somebody knocked on the door of his house, and this Muslim guy was really starting to get interested in Christianity and the Bible. He even started to read parts of the Bible, and somebody knocked on the door, and the person came in, and the person sat with them, and they had a conversation, and he said, well, you know, we have some extra food, come and eat with us, and they had this conversation. And then sort of halfway through the conversation, he turned to Christianity and this person of Jesus Christ. And he said, as he was sitting at the table, he said, I want to know more about Jesus. And the next moment, the man said, well, I'm he. And then he disappeared. And the guy, the whole family came to salvation. You know, they all fell on their knees. And then every account of a supernatural appearance of Jesus that you can see it in the Old Testament or even today still happens. The one thing that would stand out and what people would say was the eyes of this man. Some would talk about his eyes that are full of fire, and some say a flame in his eyes, or the soft eyes that will draw them unto this person. And so we've heard testimony upon testimony in many of these countries of this man with the eyes, the fire in his eyes, and Revelation talks about that. And I want to talk a little bit tonight about a hidden treasure. You know, I always had a question when I was at primary school and running around. I had a bit of anger issues. And so I remember playing tennis and playing provincial tennis, and then many times, you know, when it didn't go so well, then I would stand and walk off the tennis court, and I would point my finger up into the sky, and I say, but why do you let this happen to me, and why did you do it, and why this, and why that, you know, sort of almost like, you know, this anger venting it at God and not even knowing God. And through the years, I've experienced, you know, that it's actually amazing how we always blame God for stuff, but when there's breakthroughs, we don't give Him the credit. Huh? We pray for the rain comes, and then there's nobody to come and say thank you. It's just amazing. And some of you are sitting with questions tonight, and questions that God is not necessarily going to answer for you because of our pride. And we actually wanting to bring God down to our level. And so many times when God deals with us, God says there's something He wants from each one of us. And let's go and read when He talks about the kingdom, because whenever scripture talks about the kingdom, it talks about a king. It's not this weird, airy, fairy, feel good, float into the room, float out of the room, you know, and then, oh, did you feel? It's just simply where Jesus reigns, where the kingdom reigns, there the king reigns. Where the kingdom comes, there the king reigns. That's what He said. Our Father in heaven, thy... Okay, that was old King James. Okay, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your... Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm. Let's pray that again. Okay. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Onse Vader, wat in die hemel is. Okay, lost some people there. You know, speaking other tongues and things like that. But in any case, so let's read a story in Matthew, because Jesus loved to talk about parables and stories, and many times the people would actually walk away and not understand a thing what He said. And the disciples would sort of almost like go to him afterwards and say, okay, what did you mean about the leaven? And what did you mean about this? Because Jesus will many times come and do something in our lives, and then he's waiting for a reaction. He's waiting for you to respond. I'm talking about the hidden treasure. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven, say the kingdom of heaven, thank you for your enthusiasm, is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. We see this thing of God coming and God showing us certain things, and then he almost waits for your response. He waits for my response. And he says it's like this guy that goes out into the field and suddenly he finds this treasure. He's obviously looking for something, but now he finds this treasure, and then scripture says, just like with the merchant, they go away, they sell everything they have to go and buy that piece of field so that he can get the treasure in the field. Or with the merchant, finds this pearl, this beautiful pearl with this great value, goes to sell everything, and then comes straight in. Okay, so the first thing that I want to quickly talk to you, are you all still all right? You're very quiet. It's a bit hot in here, okay, but get used to it. This is Stellenbosch for the next couple of weeks. Wait till February comes. That's in a week's time, okay? The Lord bless you. Okay, and make his wind wave over you this week. Okay, but you know, just shake somebody next to you and say, I'm going to teach you a new word. It's called Chona Machantas. Okay, in Afrikaans, it means goeie tye. Okay, or tropies. That's the new one here in the church, it seems. Okay, we heard that on the first year's game. Okay, but you know, When you and I come, there are two groups of people sitting in this room tonight. There's some here that's like I was the first time when I came into a church like this, and people lifted up their hands and they started to sing without words on the screen. This thing like, freaky, weird, give me words. Yeah? And then they lifted up their hands. I remember there was this big red thing hanging there at the back, and I prayed still. I prayed out loud because I was sweating. The scripture says rivers of living waters will come from underneath your armpits, you know. It was like, you know, because I panicked. I thought these people are weird, and I thought that they slaughtered people behind that red curtain at the back there, because, you know, it was a bit weird. And I didn't understand that God many times sets us up for stuff that we don't understand. But you know, the human race, we are the most curious bunch of people. You walk away from here tonight and maybe you think it's a bit weird or whatever, but let me tell you, you'll know that you've met God because you can feel his presence here. You know, and so I remember standing there in the crowd that first time when people lifted up their hands, I still prayed. I said, Lord, I know I've got sin in my life, but please take me alive out of this place. I'll serve you for the rest of my life. You know, praise God, the next week I was back there. Yeah, because there was something of life. There was something, and this is what God says in Matthew chapter 7. When we seek him, there's, like I said, there are two groups here. Some of us are seeking and we're hungry. And some of us are already full, but with the wrong stuff. And so your hunger and your desire for God will determine how much you can receive. So if you're going to eat, okay, I don't get commission for this, but McDonald's or whatever, or Burger King or all this stuff that has opened up. Some of the guys smiled, Donnie. Where's the Burger King? Nice. I saw you there. Okay. But it's amazing. You know, when we eat 20 burgers a day, then, you know, at last year's men's camp, I didn't have time to get any other food. I ate 18 burgers that weekend from Thursday to Sunday. I felt like a walking patty, you know, but in any case, I won't say my wife has just left, so I can tell you, just between the two of us, okay? I drank 5 liters of Coke as well. Oh, I repented. I repented afterwards. It was nice while I was doing it. But in any case, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 to 8, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. So there's one prerequisite. It's not about whether you are a big sinner or a big saint or what you've done right or what you've done wrong. It's simply about a hunger in your God, in your heart, to discover who God is. So it says, when you do these three things, when you seek, when you ask, when you knock, some things are going to begin to happen. Some things are going to be opened up. Now, being opened up to you, and jy gaan deure gaan vir jou begin oopmaak, dinge gaan begin gebeur. And so, it is so important that as you're sitting here, you have to decide which one of the two groups you are tonight. Because your expectation and your hunger to meet with God will determine whether you meet with Him or whether you walk out here receiving nothing. Because you think everything is weird, or these people are this too, this service is too long because I'm used to 35-minute sermons, you know? It's not about the length, it's about your heart. Don't you know, Ben, say it's about your heart. When we seek Him, we will find Him. When we knock, it will be open. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Read it with me. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Once you've eaten that marfa pudding and flour, what do black people eat for that, you know? What do you, Tony, what do you like for pudding? Ice cream, I knew it. Ice cream. Pastor Henry, when he comes here, it's a friend of ours in Malawi. We eat ice cream 5 times a day, I tell you. And then he eats all his wives as well. Okay, John 6, verse 35. Listen to this. Jesus makes this statement. Jesus made 7 statements of who he was in Scripture, and we find them all in the book of John. But John chapter 6, verse 35, he says, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Whoa. Imagine I can develop a type of food, put it on the market, that once you've eaten of this food, you will never need to eat again. All the food companies and the farmers will kill me before I get that. But in any case, you know. But imagine I have this drink that once you drink, you will never need to drink again. So Jesus is not talking about the natural here, but he's talking about a spiritual thing. And my question to us is, what are you hungry for and what are you thirsty for? Because if you aren't going to come onto campus first year and you're going to say, I just need acceptance. I tell you, you can get acceptance in a lot of places. But I tell you that the person sitting next to you cannot give to you the acceptance of the identity that you need, because we're all looking for an identity and it's only the one who made you. You know, we as men, we are very bad. Ladies, this is a tip. Whenever we buy a DVD or player or anything like that, we take the remote, we switch on the thing and we sit there and we're going to figure it out. Please, ladies, give us some grace. Don't come to us and say, have you read the manual? We've got this inbuilt thing to build something or break it before we can build it up. And then we've got to take it back to the shop and say to them, that thing is broken. Meantime, we've broken. But anyway, but the most amazing thing is the manual. If you go to the manual, it makes life much easier. Would you agree? But we're lazy to read the manual. We're lazy to get into the Word. But the only way that you can find out who you are is simply if you go to the manual, and the one who's written the manual, his name is Jesus Christ. And when you allow Him to establish you and allow Him to put that stamp of approval on you and say, I love you and I'm proud of you. Otherwise, you're going to sleep around. You're going to do a lot of things. You're going to drink. You're going to do all that stuff. And at the end, you're still going to be empty. Because no person on the face of this earth can tell you any words that can satisfy or fill that hunger and that thirst inside. You've been made with an inbuilt thirst and hunger for God. And that's why it says, when you come to me, you will never. I looked at the Greek and the Hebrew. That took me a very long time to understand that word of never. Because once you understand it, what it really means in the Greek and the Hebrew, your mind will be blown. It is actually amazing. The word never means never. Like an Didn't you know even say, never? Oh. Come here, Vince. Come tell the people. These people can't say never.
Never.
Come on, Vince.
Never! Okay. So never is quite dramatic. It means never. Imagine, and I tell you, when you come to God and you've got this hunger and thirst for Him, He says, I'm the bread of life. Once you come to have a relationship with Me, you'll never thirst and you'll never be hungry again. You'll walk around and you'll be able to, doesn't matter what people say about you, doesn't matter what people think about you. We're not obviously walking around and say, I don't care about what you say or anything like that. But simply, the criticism of man or the praise of man, it cannot change us. Because we know we're children of God. We're sons and daughters of God. And that's the thing the devil challenged Jesus on the most. Did you know it was on His sonship? You're going to be challenged a lot on that. He said, if you are the Son of God, then take these stones and turn it into bread. And you know what will happen? All the people will come out and they'll come and worship you, but in a different way than the will of God. If you are the Son of God, then stand on the temple mount, stand up there and jump up, and the angels will catch you. Do you know that the devil quoted scripture at Jesus? But the main attack was always on, who are you? Are you really the Son of God? But Jesus, just every time when people asked Him, even the Pharisees and the Sadducees, He said, I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. So I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. Sure. You see, once Jesus was baptized, the heavens opened up. Before Jesus did any miracles, any great things for God, you know what happened? Is He said simply, the Father opened up the heavens and said, you are My Son in whom I am well pleased. I want to tell you that to some of the first years here tonight, some of the people visiting us. God loves you and He's proud of you. Even if you've wasted your whole life so far, because He's made provision for you to walk in your true identity. Why don't you just close your eyes for a moment? I want to pray for some people right here. Father, there's some of us here running around looking for love. And I pray right now, Jesus, that You will put Your hand on our shoulders. Lord, that You walk through the rows and that You'll touch every person that is looking for love in the wrong place. Lord, give us soft hearts so that we can break before You and just respond to Your unconditional love. We don't know why You love us so much, God. But I thank You that You overwhelm us, Lord, with who You are tonight. In Jesus' name. Some of our lives that are going to change here tonight because of Christ. The other thing that He says, John chapter 10, Jesus makes this another statement. He says, then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before Me are with thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by Me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief, that's the devil, does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I don't know if you've ever had an embarrassing moment like I've had. One day when there were lots of people visiting at our home, and I came a little bit late because the people were already all sitting in this living room, and we've got these sliding doors. Why are you laughing? Enjoying it too much. So here I come. There were lots of people there that I didn't know. And now you want to sort of make a good impression. We all want to do that, okay? They always say, my grandmother's words come up to me. First impression is the good impression. If you make a bad impression. So I come. Imagine this now. Not too intense because, okay. En deur uit die kusyn uit. I just pretend as if it was somebody else. The only problem is half of my nose was sitting in the little window in there, and you just think like, oh, Armageddon, no. Rapture, take place. Now, Jesus, take me away into your hands. I commit. What did Jesus pray? You know, when he just, you know, you're sort of just like, Lord, take me away. Just rapture me now, you know. And then you stand there and everybody like, and then the children, bless the children, you know. Look at them, see us. Look at them. And I think like, oh, you like it. Yeah. But some of you are just laughing so loud because you did the same, exactly the same. Huh? You get some flashbacks, okay? But scripture says there that we must seek, we must ask, and we must knock. Do you know if you have a door like this and you knock, it means the door is actually closed. You want to go in. It's not easy to go in. It's a closed door. You don't know who's going to stand on the other side of the door, but scripture says if you knock, if you keep on knocking, if you keep on asking, if you keep on seeking. Because something happens when you ask, scripture says, you receive. You must ask. Because when you ask, you receive. If you don't ask, you don't receive. If you knock, there's a closed door, and there's something behind that door that you need to discover, but you need to knock there. You need to say, hello, hello, is there somebody in there? Knock. Seek is you're looking for something, you're looking for somebody. I have three children. My youngest one is always like amazing, Josh. He loves to play hide and seek, but he hides in the same place all the time. And if I don't come quickly enough, then do you know what he does? He says, I'm here, I'm here. Fuck. Waar is jy? Wegkruipertjie, waar is jy? Ek is hier. And if I come close to him, he says, no, I'm not here, I'm not here. It's just amazing. And then every time I come into the room, you know, he stands behind the door always. The same place, I tell you, the same place, the same time, the same thing, the same, all over. And then I pretend, you know, it's like, oh, maybe he's down here. Oh, maybe he's under the bed. Maybe, I don't know where he is. And then he goes like, wah! Some of the first years just woke up, you know. And they say, oh, oh, you know. Then you sort of like pretend all over as if you just found him. And then you say, I got you, you know. And then you hug him and you're sort of like. Do you know that God does exactly the same with us? He knows all your chemos. He knows all your bad stuff, your wrong stuff, your stuff, how we fail God. And then God just comes like. You come to him and like you pretend like he doesn't know. Oh Lord, I know somebody out there that really needs this message. I can think of at least 7 people. They should have been here tonight. But do you know how good we are at faking stuff? But God loves it. Because God has not been lost. In the process of seeking, you'll find God. But he's never changed and he's never been lost. You've been lost. I've been lost. He knows exactly where we are and we need to just come to him and say, okay, God, I'm a sinner that needs a savior. But when we talk about God's holiness, this is not a game we're playing. It's not a little nice show or a nice sermon. When you talk about God's holiness, it means God has got a different standard. And if you want the benefits of God and the blessings of God in your life, you have to walk away from where you are and you have to knock on the door and then you have to walk through the door, which is Jesus Christ. There are many people saying there's lots of ways to heaven. Nonsense. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father except then through me. There's an open door and you have to stand in front of that door and you have to knock and you have to seek and you have to say and ask Jesus, I want your life. I want your fullness. I don't want to live a life of compromise. And I don't care what other people say or other people even say that they're Christian. I want to have the fullness of life. Can somebody say amen? Let's do that Khona Machantas thing again. Because I don't know. I can't hear the Eendracht guys there at the back. Are you still alive? Are you still all right there? There's like a massive crowd of first years there at the back. I'm going to come to you now. No, just beware. If you fall asleep, I'm going to check up on you right now, okay? So we're talking about the hidden treasure. This is a treasure chest supposed to... Okay, just imagine. Can the camera look at this? Okay. Now everybody's like inquisitive. There's something in here. Do-do-do-do. I can see it and you can't. But when you're looking for something and you find that pearl of greatest price, or you find that thing, when you start to seek, when you start to knock, when you start to ask, something begins to happen when you understand the treasure. When you understand the pearl of greatest price. All of you received, the first time visitors, you've received a little welcome packet. Okay? There are 9 of them that has little ribbons on. Quickly check. Check if you've got one. We're doing it in practice now. Okay. If you've got a little ribbon, a blue ribbon on your welcome pack. Now everybody's going like, me, pick me, like the donkey in Shrek. Me. Okay. Are those 9 people here somewhere? Come to the front quickly if you've got a little ribbon on your welcome pack. Okay, we've got a special Amplified gift for you. Amplified is the youth and student ministry. What's your name? Nicole. Is it Afrikaans, Nicole? Cool, welcome here vandaan. Namibia, die land met hening en biltong. Woo! Okay, sorry, daar is niks biltong in here, okay. Okay, cool. Maar as jy biltong het, kan jy maar kom gee. Hierso, ons hou van biltong. What's your name? Soz. How do you spell that? S-O-Z. It says Soz. Where do you come from, Soz? Mafeking. Yeah. Have you got mountains in Mafeking? This is mountains. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. All the Free State people, all the Gauteng people, we've got real mountains. Yeah. Okay. So is Gofried. Cool stuff. Woohoo! What's your name? Lina Marie. Yes, Lina Marie. I can it, Ian. What's your name? Brandon. Brandon, welcome. Jij van Noorn. Gauteng. Yeah. Woo! Okay, there's a Stormers wiki for you there, okay? No, I'm only checking. What's your name? David. How are you doing? Are you English speaking, David? Afrikaans. How come see then David in English? David. That's cool. Welcome here from Don. Bredasdorp. Yes. Any people from Bredasdorp here? Lots of people want to come from Bredasdorp now, eh? Cool. Did you get one? Only one, eh? Any, what's your name? Rodney. Where do you come from, Rodney? Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe's in the house. Woo! Lots of Zimbabwe's. What did you do there? What's your name? I thought you gave me a ribbon. Thanks, Brandon. Where do you come from? Johannesburg. We've got lots of Gautengers here tonight. And your name? Natalie. Where are you from, Natalie? Belleville, Cape Town. Okay, Belleville. Woo! Thanks. It's in Paro that they tune the cars. It's not Belleville. Belleville is right. Okay. So, but you know, when we're all looking for something, like you had to know, everybody's thinking like, there's something that in your heart. We all have that inbuilt thing. I wanna find something. I wanna win a prize. Okay. We all love winning prizes. Anybody that doesn't like winning prizes? How many of you have won a prize, like a big prize somewhere? Sure. Okay, lay hands on the people next to you. Lay hands on them, okay? Cool stuff. But you see, once you come to this place of seeking, asking, knocking, finding, listen to this. In Matthew chapter 7, Verse 21 to 23, it says, "Now, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you practice lawlessness." Another scripture that we find in John chapter 12, verse 23, it says, "But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly," the scripture, I love scripture because it always says, most assuredly, baie definitief, precies, soos ons nou gaan sê. I love that. "I say to you," listen to this, "unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. As he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me." You see, once you come to knock at the door, once you come to stand, you seek and you ask, you need to discover the love of God. And some of you are going to discover it tonight. Some of you have already, God has started to deal with you, started to show his love towards you, because you're here by divine appointment tonight. You're not here by mistake or just because somebody else invited you maybe to come. But something must do, because your greatest enemy, the greatest enemy, I said it at Holberg House Church this morning and at Simonsburg House Church this morning, I said, the greatest enemy in this world is not the devil. It's not your parents. It's not the people out there. Simply the greatest enemy that can cause destruction in your life is you. It's the person sitting there. Take your finger, point at yourself. Say, me. I. Myself. I want to submit to you that there's not one good person on the face of this earth. There's not one good person in this room. There's not one good person. I'm not good. You're not good. That's what Jesus said. The only way we can understand his greatness and his love and his fullness is we come to that place where we surrender everything. Where the grain of wheat dies. You have to die before you live. The world says live and you will eventually die somewhere, someday, but don't really care about the dying. Jesus does it the other way around. He says die. And when you die to yourself, when you die to that place and you start to realize, you come to this revelation that actually you cannot save yourself. I did that when I was at school in Paul, and on the 4th of April this year, on the 4th of April, I'll be saved 25 years. Praise Jesus, okay? On the 4th of April 1989, I did this. I went on my knees before a teacher and I said, the Jesus that you are serving and the Jesus that I'm serving is not the same Jesus. I want that Jesus. I want to know that one that you're talking about, because the one that I know is one of my own making, is a religious one. It's one that I've got a set of rules, and I invite him sometimes to come into my life, especially when it's matric exams, especially when it's going difficult and there's somebody that's got cancer in the family or somebody's about to die. Then we all pray. Then suddenly Jesus come, Jesus come. But for the rest of our lives, we don't actually care. But there's a place, and that's the only place in scripture where Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat dies, unless you come to that place of brokenness and utter, utter dependence, because you found the pearl of greatest price. I'm going to go back to that first scripture. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. There's a little word there called all. There's a little word there that says there's no limits. It doesn't say 90%, and it doesn't say 95%. It doesn't say 96 or 99.9%. There's a scripture that says once you've found that pearl of greatest price, there's an automatic surrender of everything, because you realize that's the only thing. The relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to tell you, is the only one that can give you complete forgiveness and give you and release you in your true identity-ness. Is the only one that can bring life to you, that it doesn't matter what the world throws at you and what people say to you and say about you. Because Do you know some people are going to hate you? That's what Jesus said. For us as a church, there's some people that hates us and spread all these amazing rumors. It's great. And I love it when that happens because, you know, people cannot define and determine. Once I've been accepted by God, people cannot reject me or reject you when you know that you're secure in God. But once you come to that place of surrendering all, then your life only starts. Then the tree begins to produce and multiplies. And I tell you, I want to submit to you, there are many people in our country, 70% of people in our country tell us that they're Christians. But the Saturday night Christian and the Sunday morning Christian is not the same Christian. And you know, you can recognize a tree by its fruit. Because what is the one thing that you will determine that by? It's called barrenness. It's called the inability to reproduce spiritually. It's the inability to multiply yourself. But you know, the greatest thing, once you become that seed and that seed dies and you come to God and say, okay, God, this is one little tiny seed. If you go out here and you look at these massive trees, do you know what you begin to see? You begin to see a massive tree that produces hundreds of seeds all over, and it attracts lots of birds as well that foofies on your car, but that's all right, you know. It just multiplies itself. And over, you know, it spreads the seed and goes down the Easter River and it plants other trees next to it. And scripture says that how great it is, Psalm 1, when you find a tree planted by the living waters. It's got roots and it produces fruit. And there's some of you that have never produced something of real significance. Maybe of success, but of significance for God. And tonight it's going to change because you're going to come to surrender to Him and you're going to say to Him, yes, God, I want that life. I want that place of surrender. I want to know you, God. But the one thing that God has placed in each one of us is called an ability to be part of His purpose. Do you know that there's a scripture in Romans, and I'm going to end with the scripture. It says, the whole earth, the whole world is waiting in anticipation for the revelation of the sons and the daughters of God. When I go out here, I've got a friend. He's from the northern parts of Malawi, and he goes over to Tanzania. He does crazy thing. He calls me Pastor Sias. Okay? But I forgive him every time because I love him very much. Yeah? Every morning when he wakes up, he runs out and he stands in nature. He looks up in the sky and he says, beautiful, wonderful. Mountain, I'm a son of God. Sky, wait for my revelation. He talks in this deep voice. Come here, Tony. Come here. Let me embarrass you. Woo! Tony's got the most beautiful smile. You just see teeth all over, hey, Tony. But this pastor, Pastor Billy Mkonya, came to visit us once here in the Nielsi. And this is how we walked into the Nielsi. I tell you, I got many stares. He just smiled. He looked up. I was here on campus for 4 years already, and I didn't know that there was little windows up there that you can see the skies. He stopped right there in the middle, lifted up his hands like this. He said, praise Jesus. You can see through the roof. Skies, open skies, open heavens. Jesus, we worship you. And then we went on our knees there in the middle of the Nielsi. I'm just thinking like, oh Lord, no more ego left. All the people are seeing me. Yeah. Thanks, Tony. And thanks, Tony. But something I learned from this brother of mine, good friend, is an appreciation and a thankfulness for life. Why? Because we found the pearl of greatest price. Nothing else will satisfy. We've sold everything. Jesus has become number one. I want to say to you tonight that that Jesus is my best friend. And I'm waiting for that moment when this earth age will pass by and it will pass through. And I'll stand before Him. And I look Him in the eyes. And He'll say to me, well done. Good and faithful servant. That's the only words I want to hear from Him. And I stand before Him and I look Him in the eyes, those attractive eyes, those consuming eyes that draws me, and in a moment I'll be changed. praise God, I'm going to have a six pack as well. You know? That was just a joke. Okay, but you know, what are you hungry for first year? What are you thirsty for? So what we're doing here tonight is not a game. It's not a little show. This is about life and death. This is about your salvation. This is about knowing God. And imagine the King of the universe is saying to you, I invite you to an audience with me. I invite you to come and get life. I'm the bread. Come. I want you not to be thirsty anymore. I don't want you to be hungry anymore, but you're going to need to do it on my terms. I'm going to show you a little clip and then we're going to pray for people that fall in place.
You. Look at your eyes. Look at them. Speckled. Colorful. Each one unique. And I created every one of them. I created everything. The universe and you. I gave you your personality. I made you pure, complex. And every day, I give you life. I love you. But something happened. You cheated on me. You didn't trust me. Cut yourself off from me, and although you're still alive, you are slowly dying. So you looked for other things. To fill the void.
Say frozen. Ta-da. Let's all go, ta-da. No, you didn't put any faith into that. Ta-da. We're going to try it again. It's always amazing when these things happen. There's some people that just run. You know? The rest just sit. But there's some people that run. Okay, we're gonna try that again. No, we're not. Okay.
You.
So she's looking at you.
Look at your eyes. Look at them. Speckled. Colorful. Each one unique. And I created every one of them. I created everything. The universe and you. I gave you your personality. I made you pure, complex. And every day, I give you life. I love you. But something happened. You cheated on me. You didn't trust me.
Okay, that's just a good opportunity. We'll load it on the Facebook page, on the Amplified Student Facebook page, on the Shofar Facebook page, and you can go watch it there. It's just a marketing plan for all to get you very curious. No, I'm only joking. But very, very simply, this clip goes about the fact that God became one of us. And we messed up and we started to die and we're all on this road to dying simply because we don't have life. And then Jesus came and became one of us. And do you know what? It's It's the most amazing thing that there will not be one person be able to stand before God one day and say, God, you didn't know what I went through. God, the why and the pointing of the finger and the anger and the fears and all that stuff. Because Jesus came to die on a cross. That's where we get our word excruciating pain from. Out of the cross. Ex, out of the cross. Out of the crucifixion. And when he hanged on that cross, he was thinking about you and he was thinking about me. And he said, Father, forgive him. Forgive Arnu. Arnu. Forgive Madeleine. Forgive him because he hasn't got a clue what he's doing. His sins, they're killing me and her sins are upon me. But God, and the scripture in Hebrews says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And that joy was for you and I to respond to that living God and say, yes, God, now I want to follow you. And in a night like tonight, God, Jesus will just come in here and he will say, you, follow me. And then he'll start walking. Are you willing to give up everything because you found the price, the pearl of greatest price? Because there's no in-between. There's no 40%. There's no 30%. There's no 20%. There's no 90%. When you found life, you're willing to give it all to receive. Will you stand with me tonight? Father, I want to thank you that you've been speaking to us to surrender. And Lord, there are lots of grains of wheat that must die tonight. And it's not a popular thing to say, Father, but we are so hungry for you. When we look out on this campus, there are so many things that can satisfy us, God. Lord, there's some of us here tonight that want happiness through many happenings in our lives, but every time we realize how empty that is, because things on the outside can never settle things in the heart. And I pray in this moment, God, that for some of us here, Lord, our whole world will flash before us. There's some people here tonight. And I don't want to put pressure on you, but the Holy Spirit showed me that you have been contemplating suicide. You're thinking that, is one of you a lady? You're 18 years old, 18, almost 19, turning 19. You've been thinking, what? Who would come to my funeral? It's not the first time you've been thinking that. There are three people here tonight. The Holy Spirit is showing me that you have been, in the last 2 years, you have been giving people off to death. One was unexpectedly, just family members that has really, really brought these massive questions in your heart. Why God? Why me? And tonight the invitation is, will you trust him? Will you trust him? I'm going to ask those people that have been thinking about taking their lives, and I don't want to put pressure on you, but tonight God is going to deliver you, and you know that it's about life or death. This is not a game we're playing. I want you to come to the front quickly because I need to pray for you. Because tonight God is going to break that spirit of death over your life. He's going to set you free. I want you to come quickly. And I know it's there's lots of stuff in your mind going on right now, but I want you to come. Because this is real church. This is not a game. People's lives are at stake. Do you know that there are people on this campus committing suicide and the people don't talk about it? I want you to come quickly. There are 5 people that I need to pray for that tonight. Thoughts of suicide, thoughts of death. There are 5 people here tonight in this room that God is going to set free. I want you to come quickly. Quickly. I don't put it, well, this is not a show, people. I want you to pray. This is a holy moment because God still changes lives and he breaks death over people. I want you to come quickly. I'm waiting for another two people. The Lord showed me five people tonight. And tonight He's going to change your life, because that's what Jesus does. Jesus conquered death. Jesus broke death and the sting of death. You're the last one. I want people to be formed right around Him. Father, right now we break the accusations. I want you to stretch out your hands to these people. Lord, we break the accusations and the lies and the spirit of death that has been hanging over them. Tonight, Father, we speak life, because Jesus, You have not come to steal. You've not come to destroy. You've come to give life in abundance. And tonight, Father, even Lord, as they feel they're standing in a corner, Lord, and they just cannot escape, Lord, we come against the voices, the lies, the constant accusations, Lord, that want to steal their life. And we say, no. Death, You will let them go. Satan, You will let them go. We break the yoke of slavery. We break it. We say, no. The blood of Jesus gives them life and shows them life and releases life over them. And right now, Lord, we come against those lies. We come against the thoughts. We come against the things, Father, that have been bugging them, Lord, and just day that doesn't stop, Lord. Lord, against Him, Lord, it's just relentless. It just doesn't stop, Lord. He's so tired, Father. But tonight we pray in the name of Jesus and we take authority. I want everybody to pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, deliver them from evil. Deliver them from the fear of death. Death, You have no sting. We speak life in Jesus' name. We speak the blood of Jesus and the name of Jesus. And we say, You will live and You will not die. You will live and You will not die in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We just pray Your blood over them, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We're going to give an opportunity for people to respond. But there are two people here with chronic diseases. You've got chronic diseases, okay? If you don't know what's happening right now, it's what the Bible calls in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It's called the word of knowledge, where God gives us supernatural revelation to set people free. So those two people with chronic, it's one with blood problems. I don't know if it's leukemia, but blood problems. I want you to come out quickly, because we want to pray for your freedom. That's why Jesus died. He didn't just die to take us to heaven. He died so that we can live. I want those two people to come out quickly. Just come quickly, 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 so that we can pray for you. While they're coming, I want you to come and stand right here in front. Chronic diseases. There are two people that we're going to pray for healing for. If you're here tonight, and I'm going to be very frank with you, Jesus is not number one in your life. Jesus does not own your life. You just occasionally invite Him. And you've been thinking like, oh no man, you're too serious. I tell you, you don't have life. Jesus said, I am the way. Doesn't say I'm going to give you 10 steps to the way. He says, I am the truth. The truth is a person. His name is Jesus Christ. He says, I am the life. If you want to have life, you have to stand before Him and you have to look Him in the eyes and say, God, I want that. I found the pearl of greatest price. There's a hidden treasure and I'll give everything, Lord. But I'm going to do it Your way. I'm going to ask you, while every eye is closed, still waiting for those two people to come, if you need to surrender your life, if the seed needs to die tonight, I want you to lift up your hand. I want you to say to me, yes, that's me. I'm not playing a game tonight, but I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Maybe you have prayed prayers before, but you know that Jesus is not Lord of your life. He doesn't own 100% of you. And you want to start to serve Him. You want to have that life. And you want to see Him. You want to know His eyes. And you want to know His words, and you want to recognize His voice, because that's why how you know that you know God is simply that you know His voice. He speaks to you. I want you to raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you. Thank you. Just quickly raise your hand very high. There's lots of hands going up, because the person next to you cannot save you. Me as a pastor, I'm standing in front. C.S. LaRue cannot save you. I can do nothing for you. I can just pray for you that you know Jesus, the Jesus that saved me. And tonight He wants to save you. If that's you tonight, I want you to be very serious. I don't want you to look to the person next to you, because tonight you need to face Him. And He's going to give you a brand new life. You're going to be born again. You're going to be changed. You're going to become His disciple. You're going to produce lots of fruit. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Some of you that Maybe you've made those commitments, but you've just strayed over the holidays. You've just walked away from Him, and you need to make a recommitment. You need to say to Him tonight, Lord, I make a stand for You. Then I want you to lift up your hand very high. Say, that's me. Because this is not a game. This is life, people. This is about life. I want you to pray if you're not making a commitment. I want you to pray. I'm going to ask you to do something very bold, because this is part of the dying. It's not about a prayer, but we're going to do something symbolic. We're going to say to God, God, this seed is going to die, and I'm going to start by dying to myself. Because I don't care what people say about me anymore. I only care what You say. I'm going to ask all those people that raise their hands, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask you to die. Start dying about who you are. Don't take a knife now. Just come to the front. Because now you have to conquer that opinion of the person next to you. What are they going to think of me? What does Jesus think about you tonight? I love you. I'm proud of you. If you've raised your hand, I want you to come to the front quickly. Thank you, Jesus. Just come. Come and stand here. Hello. Some people that need to come. I want you to come quickly. I want you to come. I just want to take your hand. This is the most important decision of your life. It's going to change your life. Oh, you're beautiful to Him. Do you know that? You're beautiful to Him. Other people have said other things to you. What's your name? And God says you're beautiful to Him. He says it before all the world that you matter to Him, okay? He's never going to just reject you. He's never going to just put you aside. Hey, look me in the eyes. You're beautiful to Him. There are not many people that have said those words to you, but tonight God sees that because He cares so much for you. You're going to cry and you're going to break, but that's fine. Allow Jesus to do that. Allow Jesus to wash you clean and forgive your sins, because that, He's the best at that. He does that. He loves you so much. What's your name, sir? MK. MK, do you know how much He loves you? No, you don't know. You're only discovering. You're only discovering. He loves you so much. And each one of you, do you know what He does? He gives you a brand new. He doesn't panel beat. He doesn't panel beat anybody. When we come to Jesus, He gives us a new heart, a new life. He makes everything new, right? What's your name? Dion. It's cool. Weet jy? Die Here sê, it's cool. Moet nie probeer cool wees nie. It's klaar cool, Dion. Okay. He loves you. Each one of you guys. Do you know how much He loves you? Do you know that? Cool. If you need to be in front, I want you to come quickly. I want you to come quickly. There's some people, there's a war in your soul. Tonight we're many people, but it's every individual. If there was only one person, we would have gone through all of this because of God's love for you. Because of God's love for you. And do you know what? Some of you look very heavy and some of you look very depressed and you look like, whoa, I'm such a mess. Oh, God takes somebody like you. He takes somebody like me. I couldn't speak properly when I was in primary school. I stuttered. Couldn't speak one sentence without stuttering. So if God can take this life to bring a message to you, whoa, He can do so much more through you. And He wants to use you. Yeah, we don't play church. Yeah, we are the church. You become part of the family. And I want to encourage you. We're going to pray a prayer, a very simple prayer. You can pray your own prayer. It's not about the prayer, but it's about your heart. It's about the seed that comes to place itself and say, okay, Jesus, I give my life to You so that this seed can live. Because only Jesus can make it live. Only Jesus can pray that prayer over your life. So I want you to stand with your two hands like this. And we're all going to pray together. I don't want anybody to move right now, okay? I know some people are in a bit of a hurry, but just give us 3 minutes. This is the most important place, because this is the only thing where there's a direct reaction of what we do here on earth, that there's a direct reaction in heaven, is when one soul comes to know Christ. And there are many souls that are turning their lives to Christ. So heaven is rejoicing tonight. There's a massive thing. Not our worship, not our praise, nothing impresses God, but when one person comes to know Christ, so you're special to him. Just stretch out your hand and pray after me. Father, I am a sinner and I need a Savior. Lord, I repent of my sins. I repent of being a sinner and a bad person, even trying to be good. But Lord, tonight I turn to you. I turn my heart to you. I'm standing at the door. I've knocked. I've looked for you. But tonight I'm asking. Because you said I will receive. I ask you to save me. I ask you to heal me. I ask you to deliver me. And that you give me eternal life. That tonight you'll open up the doors of eternity and you'll come to live inside of me. I want to begin to follow you, become your disciple, become a worshiper, somebody that serves God, a son of God and a daughter of God. Please forgive me, God, and give me a new brand life in Jesus Christ. I thank you, I receive it, and I confess that you are now number one of my life with no number two. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's just give God a shout in this place.